Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green.
Yowza.
And Mr. Les Kaiser.
Howdy.
We are fired up about tonight's show. Right off the bat, I'm going to start with the big one. We got Connor Daly joining us live here in about 15 minutes. The hardest working man in motorsports, going to talk about his latest endeavors.
He's done it all. I love it. He's come up through the. It's hard enough being the son of a Formula One racing driver in Derek Daly, who then, of course, has become a fantastic pundit and TV guy in motor racing. But Connor works it. He's based in Indiana. He's done Indy. He's done GP3. He's done the lot. And now he's going NASCAR.
Going NASCAR to the Xfinity Series. That's pretty cool.
I think it's great. You know, they say, to win, you got to get up one more time than you've been knocked down. Connor's on it.
Yeah, I saw Connor yesterday. I was in mid-Ohio at the race for Trans Am there. I'll tell you a little about that later. But he was there just kind of getting a look around the whole place because he's racing next, well, 2 weeks' time at Road America. So he was there with his team just checking it all out. And interestingly enough, Kathleen Legg was trying her hand at Xfinity Racing too. So there's some really good crossovers. And how about this for a story? Guess who was racing in Trans Am yesterday?
I don't know.
The big legend, the Hall of Famer, Bill Elliott. Elliott might be winning, but Bill Elliott's doing Trans Am. That's a bigger story.
That is a huge story.
He's a great guy, too.
All right, well, let me run down what we got on the show. Obviously, we've got Connor Daly coming on here in a few minutes. We're also going to recap the MotoGP race in Austria.
Oh, awesome.
The finish to that race was really, really good.
The hills were alive with the sound of Lorenzo.
Oh, man.
Ducati looking strong again.
Yeah, that's doing great. And we got to talk about Jorge Martin, too.
Yeah, and also we've got an interview with several of the F4 drivers, F4 Americas, you know, the Americans.
F4 and F3.
Yep, both of those series. And then we've got a couple of stories we're going to talk about from Formula One, a little update on the Miami GP that's going to try to happen in 2020.
Is Hamilton still leading the championship? I can't remember. It seems
it's
like
only
weeks
been
ago.
2 weeks ago.
I mean, when are they coming back?
Exactly. Like some speed monkey not getting your dose.
Well, I just, you know, kind of disappeared.
All right, well, let's talk MotoGP, guys. Jorge Lorenzo for Ducati wins again. And it was a fantastic end to this race with he and Marc Marquez going at it. And Dovi right behind him. And of course, Rossi starting in 14th.
Really pleased for Rossi because he did a great job. It was a terrible weekend for Yamaha. I mean, Lynn Jarvis actually apologized publicly to both his riders after qualifying. Vinales was, 11th, and Rossi was even further back. Rossi did come through and managed to eke out a top six place. But I don't know, Les, you were probably, I was out busy doing Trans Am. What went wrong with Yamaha all weekend?
You know, I didn't really get to see that portion of it. But the whole thing, everything was off. I was seeing, you know, Twitter sphere blowing up about what are they thinking? What's happening? Is this the end? You know, kind of statements like that. And I just got let's go back to the end of the race. Really, Jorge, you want to go back? You want to leave Ducati?
Well, it was pretty funny. Yeah. But interesting you say that because it was such a really different race and the helicopter shots really did show quite an interesting aspect of both Ducati's and Honda's bikes. And one thing I noticed was just how quick in a straight line Honda are now compared to where they were against Ducati before. We used to, you know, marvel at Ducati's top-end speed, but not at their nimbleness in the corners. But now it seems they've got mid-corner speed, and the Honda is a match for them on the straights.
On the straights, yeah. I was watching that and watching Marquez. I think he was actually catching Lorenzo. It looked like he was gaining on the straights, which, you know, that's very un-Ducati-like.
But let's just go to Les's point. Back in Le Mans, that's the, fifth round of the championship this year.
Yeah.
Lorenzo had not scored any points. He was somewhere, he hadn't scored anything. He was a long way behind and had won nothing. And that's when he quit Ducati because he said, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. You know, and look at him. And now, like you say, he's winning races. He's third in the championship, and he's still in contention.
Do we think that...
Has he done an Alonso?
Yeah. Do we think that someone could catch Marquez? Because, you know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, there's no way. That
Tiger Woods, possibly.
That was fun to watch today.
Oh. He'll use a 9-iron on him.
It was good to see Tiger Woods.
That's a nice reference.
Yeah, that was good. But yeah, could the Ducati team, could somebody, could Lorenzo catch Marc Marquez for the championship?
It's doubtful the way Mark's riding at the moment. Rossi is still second. Weekends like this where he really doesn't have, you know, he's got one hand tied behind his back. Marquez, the thing is about MotoGP, and you know this all too well. It only needs one off, and it doesn't need an injury. It only needs one major off for Marquez, and suddenly, I think it's 49 points, maybe 59. It's close.
You're right.
That's why I say that, because Marquez, because of his riding style, I mean, we saw some of that today, is that he's always on the edge. And if Marquez does another DNF and Ducati continues to win, you could get Ducati back in the race of this thing.
Yeah, it's 59 points to Rossi and 71 to Jorge.
And 25 points for a win. So it only needs, and we got a long way to go yet, it only needs a wet race and a bit of a, you know, conflab or Marquez. Today is a good example. The commentators were saying, he's not going to fight with Lorenzo. He's got the world championship to think about it. It's just not how he races. He's all out or nothing. And there were several times in the last four laps where both riders could have come off. It didn't matter to Lorenzo. He's got to go desperate because he's way behind. But Marquez could have taken his whole championship out by just wanting that win only at a time where he had an enormous lead. Imagine if one of those turn four moves or turn nine moves had not come off. I mean, that one at turn four was sensational, which Lorenzo covered off. But I knew he was going to do it. And, yeah. And so did Lorenzo. He literally blocked past him. And I remember at the time thinking, he's going to go up the inside. I know the corner, it's a Formula One corner. It's the same thing. You go up the inside, you block the pass, you pull on the anchors, and the guy can't turn in. But Lorenzo was smart. He went wide, said, okay, and then just jumped across him. And that was over and under.
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
It was really annoying watching a MotoGP race with Jonathan. Because he kept commentating before what the commentators were saying.
Turn the volume down.
No, but he did. You must have done that five times going, well, what about that? And the guy would repeat everything you were saying. But okay. Hey, what about the MotoGP app? Remember, I was talking about how good the Formula One app was. But what about the MotoGP app? It was awesome.
I have been using it, and you know, we talked about the different views of the Formula One app that's going on. What I like about the MotoGP app is you can put on four views: the camera, you know, the commentary view. You can put two onboard camera views and the helicopter view. You can put all of that on the screen at once.
Is there a Rossi Pillion view?
No.
I'd take that.
That'd be fun. But you can put all of that on the screen at one time. So if you've got a big, 70-inch, you've got a great view of this race and seeing everything that's going on. I absolutely love that and seeing all that information. And you see all those different views without really moving your head much. And you can keep up with immediate actions on it.
Well, I said this to John, and I've said it before. I think MotoGP, and they've been doing this for many years now, are still the world leader and are leading the field in motorsport in coverage. NASCAR do a brilliant job in terms of their amount of cameras. Formula One, obviously. But I think MotoGP, for the super slow-mos, which I think are more effective on bikes, for, like you say, the options. But the app itself, the ability to watch on demand, you never miss anything because you can watch it at your own pace. They mark each race so you can see the incidents. I really like the way they developed the app, and all the information's there, and it's all in video. You don't even read a news story anymore. You just watch videos.
I want a couple more bits of data on that they have in their system already. I want to see the dash of the driver so that we see the warnings that they pop up on the dash nowadays. Sure. I'd love to see that, and I'd love to see that dial that they show when you watch MotoGP on TV, and it's the speed and the braking, and I miss that lean angle.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Fantastic.
I was just talking to Jonathan. We were watching. I was going, I don't know if you can get MotoGP in 4K anywhere, but what if you had one of those giant screens, 4K, slow-mo? I want to see the tread block deflection is what I want to see. Because this sport is so conducive to that slow-mo, awesome video stuff. I mean, that'd be amazing. All right, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, we got to take a break because we got Connor Daly coming up next after this break. You are listening to Speed City. We are live in Austin, Texas, and we'll join you after these messages.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Do you want to drive a rally car?
Well, you can at Dirtfish.
Get behind the wheel of an all-wheel drive Subaru WRX, STI, or rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZ rally car at our 315-acre training facility. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition, on our 12 different rally courses. Drift through corners, hammer down straightaways, go fast, get sideways, and visit dirtfish.com.
Ambia Gusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only Ambia Gusta and Ducati factory-authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by Ambia Gusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Making talk radio great again.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yo Samira Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we got Connor Daly coming up here in just a minute. I want to get in and sneak in a quick clip of from MotoGP today. We were talking.
I'm very happy.
That's
the quickest I can do.
I want to play this clip from Jorge Lorenzo because winner today's race,
for
looking good.
Satisfied.
Let's hear from the real Jorge Lorenzo.
Jorge, that was absolute class. Early on, it looked like you were not so fast, but 10 laps to go, it looked like you pulled the pin. Please tell us what happened.
Yeah, you know, I didn't expect that Mark so quick at the beginning. He really wanted to push to open the gap, so I needed to push, but at the same time save a little bit the tires and the benzene. And then 10 laps to the end, I decided to attack, but Mark was there, was always there, and I knew he wanted to try it. So I was stronger in some areas of the track, especially in the uphill in fifth gear. But he was very strong in the second corner in this braking, so he always overtook me. But in the last lap, he didn't expect it myself by the outside in the acceleration, so it was a little bit surprised for him. And then when I overtook him, I pushed at the limit, risking so much on the braking, but I did it and I finished.
I was a stronger.
He was stronger today.
The Mallorcan king. I'll tell you, I think I've said this before. Everybody was counting him out, said, oh, you know, he's going to get it. I always said it. Once he comes to grips, I remember when he was here and everybody was writing him off going, oh, what'd you go to Ducati for? You were nowhere. Remember here,
yeah.
Back in April, he was nowhere. And then come Le Mans, he was way, way back and hadn't scored a damn thing. And now look at him go.
Alrighty, well, I got to ask, because honestly, I could see buyer's remorse in this for that autograph. What are the chances, or have you ever heard of anybody backing up and go, never mind?
Yeah, I doubt it. No, and I'm afraid that ship has sailed. He's not going to a bad home, though. It's, you know.
That's the thing that we haven't talked about. How exciting is that
going
to be?
He's going, Honda doesn't get any bigger than Honda. So, hey, end of story. It's going to be, I'll tell you what it is going to be good, is next year, the little maestro against the manipulator, as it were, in the Lorenzo, the two Spaniards going head-to-head. Awesome. On the same machinery.
Well, we saw a little taste of that today. All right, guys, we have our guest. We're very excited to welcome back to Speed City, Mr. Connor Davey. Connor, welcome back to Speed City.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. How's it going?
It's going
pretty
awesome.
Good. Yeah. First question, how good was that golf?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was shouting at the TV screen. Tiger was dropping balls in holes, and he was doing some incredible stuff. I mean, obviously, we all want him to win, right? It would be so cool to see that. But yeah. I guess he came up short.
I've got to ask you this because I saw your tweet. That's why I asked you. But I mean, you know, you guys have a lot of pressure, especially because your life is on the line when you're a racing driver. But when you watch golf like that and that 18th hole, that is pure sport pressure like no other, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, because everyone is watching Tiger. So the fact that, you know, he's dealing with that, but also like mentally he's got to be at another level above any of those guys because everyone wants him to win. So I have to give him credit. I mean, you know, Tiger has always been good, right? But now that he's on this comeback tour, everyone wants him to win, probably even more so than when he was, you know, like 10 years ago. So it's pretty cool to see him deal with that. And like, I don't know. I mean, I'm watching golf now, so it's clearly made me want to watch.
Hey, listen, Connor, we bumped into each other yesterday in mid-Ohio. You were obviously there checking out the Xfinity. I was there doing the Trans Am. But give me an idea on what you learned yesterday, because the big news is, in 2 weeks' time, this is going to get serious for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just had to learn, as much as I could, just soak all the information in, sit in the team meetings with the Roush Fenway Racing team, and listen in on all the NASCAR Xfinity terminology. Different ways to describe the, you know, the car's handling, what, you know, how does everything work? What can they adjust in the race? You know, what are the setup changes like after, you know, practice, qualifying, et cetera. So just really a learning exercise for me. I mean, I don't get to test at all. Don't get to get in the car, not once before the first practice. So preparation is key and just got to try and learn as much as I can before the day comes.
So how much time did you get with the car already?
Zero. He just
nothing?
Said nothing.
That's, you've got none?
Simulator.
Wow.
How about simulator?
Yeah, I've been in the simulator for 2 days, which is great. Like, that's like 12 hours total in a simulator. But the simulator is quite accurate, but it's never like real life. It's never the heat and rocks flying and stuff, you know, smells and all that stuff. So.
Well, you walk in, you're doing the right thing, though, because the beard's coming on. You've got a bit of a Dale Earnhardt Jr. coming on there. So that's working for you.
What was that? Sorry,
I said you're getting the look though. The beard's coming into a nice Dale Jr. for you.
Well, you know what? I'm a very American man, so I'm trying to live this NASCAR dream out a little bit. I'm enjoying it. I think it's going to be fun. All my family's coming up. A lot of my friends are coming up from Indianapolis, so I got a couple mannerisms that would fit well in NASCAR. So. In the end, I'm a racing driver. I'll drive anything with wheels and some pedals. So I can't wait.
All right. Well, they do have that one thing where you throw your helmet at somebody else. So be sure and practice.
I like my helmet, so I don't know if I'm going to do that. Who knows? I've had like 20 people say I should fight someone at some point. So.
But in all
I don't know if I'll do that, but we'll
but
see.
But in all seriousness, Connor, we've been watching. You were our first ever interview on Speed City, and we've been watching your career with great interest from GP3, obviously IndyCar, Indy Lights before that. You know, you're one of the typical guys that is, like we described you as the hardest working guy because, you know, I know because I've been around to all these other venues and I see you. You are working it. You are trying to get the ride. You don't have the millions of dollars behind you, and so therefore you are on pure talent. So I think this is a big move for you because we've had some fun with it, but hey, this is a great opportunity. Catherine Legg was there this week. I know she's having a look at Xfinity too. But do you see it as a possibility? I know you still love Indy and we want you to continue, and Mid-Ohio was a good example of how well you can still do. But you know, is this something that maybe could, you know, reignite your future?
I mean, it's hard to say. You gotta look at the history of guys like, you know, Dario Franchitti, Juan Montoya, you know, coming over to try NASCAR, Danica Patrick as well. And, you know, it's tough. It's a totally different world. You know, if you're going to commit to full time, you know, Dario and Danica and Juan were with really, really good teams and they struggled to be as dominant as they were in the open wheel world. So, you know, it's certainly just an opportunity. It's a chance to do something different. It's a chance to maybe surprise some people. It's a chance to get some just more broader experience for my own career. And who knows what'll happen in the future? I mean, I'm still focused on, you know, working every day to get towards being a racing driver where I can make a living doing it. And wherever that is, as I've said, I think for a few years, you know, I don't mind. I don't know whether, you know, I don't mind whether it's IndyCar, sports cars, NASCAR. You know, as long as I'm driving a racing car and have the opportunity to compete at a high level, I'd be happy. But every fiber of my soul still wants to just fight for an IndyCar seat and get in there, because I do really, really enjoy that. And I have a passion for it. And I do believe that I can do it. I just, you know, would like to be in one seat for more than at least a 6 month period.
That's got to be frustrating. I know. And I've over the years, it seems like we've had this conversation more than once, Connor. But obviously you're talented and people recognize that because you're getting these phone calls. So to me, it's just a matter of time. One of these is going to land and it's going to be that opportunity that you're hoping for.
Yeah, I think really the biggest problem I've had is I can't really be assertive, right? I don't have the, assistance that I could be assertive in. You know, other certain teams where, you know, they might need a little bit of help, which some guys have, and then they can make it work and they, you know, have great debuts. And then they, you know, then they find a home. But, you know, for me, I came into the coin situation, you know, there wasn't a lot of sponsorship there, and then there was none at the end of the year. So then Poit hired me, which I thought was the perfect place for me to be for a few years. And then they needed money. So it was one of those situations where I just haven't found the right opportunity, to sort of make a home. And I'm working on that. You know, I don't even show up and talk to these teams unless, you know, I know that I've got something, you know, in my pocket, like some sponsorship or some sort of assistance. And thankfully, you know, Harding called me up without needing that. You know, I think they need a little bit now. I think they're going to need some in the future. But, you know, at least it gave me another opportunity in a totally last-minute situation and a totally new car, totally new everything, to go out and, you know, try and fight for, you know, qualifying in the Fast 12, at, you know, two weekends in a row. So I'm really proud of that, and you know, I'm still working on everything on the background just to try and be able to, you know, be assertive and spot myself in somewhere where I think I have a chance to be competitive.
Yeah, talk about that Harding ride for a second, because you know, people saw you on the grid, and if they're not too deep into Indy, they might not have known. But you're right, that was not with any preparation. It was a sort of last minute call. Have helmet, we'll travel, and you really paid off well here. So how did that come together, and is there a chance of that leading to more Indy?
I mean, it was just the last minute. I mean, I know a lot of those guys in that team. They wanted a different technical opinion on the car, and you know, for me, that's something I pride myself on is my technical feedback. And I think I was able to go in there and at least give them a different perspective on, you know, the car handling, the car setup. And in the end, it worked out for them. And if that's it, then that's it. And we had a great run. But if not, hopefully we can do more.
You know what? There's got to be a part of you that when that call came, hopefully there's still a part of you that does this and go, wow, this could be a lot of fun. This is going to be just badass fun.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely excited. I mean, it's more than I thought I was going to be doing this year. You know, super thankful for that chance, and it was fun to be in a competitive environment, to be racing, to be you know, fighting for guys immediately in the top 12. To make it through to the Fast 12 was huge for me. I was over the moon excited in that qualifying session in Toronto for sure.
You know, it's great seeing another race. You might say that it's an amazing race.
nice segue.
Folks, I'll tell you, it was so much fun seeing two guys we know very well.
In prime time.
Prime time, getting exposure, getting to know them. Because, you know, so often, I mean, I consider us very lucky, and that's why we like sharing these guys with our audience, is getting to know them beyond just behind the wheel and in the suit. But Connor, would you be open to maybe, I don't know, Dancing with Stars or something like that?
I would do any television show.
Good man. Well, here's an invite. You can come and join us for Formula One in October. We'd love to have you in the booth.
Hey, you know what? We may have an event.
All right, good. Right. Connor Daly's going to join us for F1.
It's a done deal.
I like it.
That's a contractually, but he's now contractually bound based on that, right?
It's recorded.
He said yes.
Hey, as long as I get paid to do something, I'll be there.
Fair enough.
I got to work. I gotta
exactly.
I can't offer my talents up for free anymore. I gotta get a job.
Exactly.
I gotta make my parents proud.
You know what? I was thinking about you when I was talking to a lot of the F3 guys yesterday, because I was talking to particularly Kyle Kirkwood, because F3 now, and this wasn't an opportunity in your past per se, but they've got an opportunity now to get super license points, which you were on the way to, and gives them another option to go either the Indy route or possibly towards GP3, or Formula 2. Kyle Kirkwood, great kid. He's won every F3 race. But he's, he could be facing the same sort of thing as you, which is he's got the talent, but it's hard to find the backing.
Yeah, it's a tough challenge no matter who you are. I mean, thankfully for him, he's doing all the right things that you need to be doing, ticking the boxes, winning everything. I think he's very good. When I have young drivers asking where they should go or what they should do, I don't have an answer anymore. I really don't, because I see guys using the Maserati to Indy, and that's obviously worked, but that's now gone.
Yeah.
So, the scholarship system has worked very well, but when you don't have that, what do people do? Are teams ready to commit to actually having young drivers as part of their teams? Are they willing to commit, to understanding that if they're going to accept new drivers, they're probably not going to come with $1 million, prize fund? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? So we'll see.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest things in this sport. It's so unique to motorsports, and it does make interesting to follow and root for guys like you that we know can do well, but don't have that backing. But it's a really tough thing to see sometimes, to watch you guys not get the opportunity.
I know it's pretty cool to at least have the opportunity and be here for it, and you just work on the future, really.
Well, we're talking to Connor Daly. Sounds like he's having a bit of a party in the background, but he's in the number 6 Ford Mustang for Roush Fenway Racing at Road America. I'm sure it's a circuit you know well, but Road America in 2 weeks' time, August 25th. I'll actually be there doing Trans Am, so if you need me to polish the headlights, I don't know, carry water for you, whatever you need, man, I'm there.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks, as always.
All right. Thanks, absolutely. Connor Daly. Thanks for coming on the show again, buddy.
Take care, buddy.
Good luck with
no
that. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yep.
He's just up for anything.
Let's
do that.
Well, I said
that.
To him, what do you do some Trans Am with us? He's like, I'm up.
Yeah. He doesn't say no to anything. And
it's a good attitude.
Yeah, and the guy you just heard, that's what he is in person.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's true.
He's one of those that's just him. We ran into him on carb day at Indy. We run into him around here in different tracks. That's just the everyday Connor Daly.
I've never seen him kind of... He's got some good ties, some good family ties, from Doug Bowles, who runs the Speedway at Indianapolis, to his own father, of course, Derek Daly. But I've never seen him pull those strings. And, he's his own man, And and not that he needs to, because he's got so much talent. And it really, this story just, of young guys trying to make it up.
Remember, his mother was a champion jet ski racer.
That's right.
He's got it all. All right, we got to take a break, guys. When we come back, we are going to continue the conversation with some of these F4 and F3 drivers that you were just talking about, Mr. Green. We got some interviews with Kyle Kirkwood and Benjamin Pedersen and the like. So stick with us through the break and listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas.
Are you craving an adrenaline rush? Well, get your fix at Dirtfish. Get sideways on one of our race-ready Subaru WRX STIs or Subaru BRZs. Learn advanced car control skills on any surface, in any condition. Test your skills on 12 different rally courses across our 315-acre training facility. Get your adrenaline fix by visiting dirtfish.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing in Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Your next chance at $1,000 with a big cash bribe is tomorrow at 7:03 on Talk 1370.
This is Magnus Walker. Greetings from downtown LA, and thanks for tuning in to Speed City. Keep busting weird and get out and drive and pedal to the metal.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Everybody says keep Austin weird. Are we that weird? I don't feel like I'm that weird.
I don't know. The whole world's getting weird over here.
Okay, I don't really know what that means, but I'm not going to dig any further.
Yeah, we seem pretty normal now.
Well, Mr. Jonathan Green spent the weekend, the first part of the weekend anyway, up at Mid-Ohio and got some interviews with these Formula 3 and Formula guys. You know, these young guys. That's the whole idea here is that it's funny. We just said, we interviewed Connor Daly just now, and we said he was our first interview. Well, he was a kid.
Almost 6 years ago.
Yeah, he was a kid then, and we've been following young drivers. You know, the next interview, it's funny, remember after Connor Daly who it was?
Alexander.
Alexander Rossi. So it's been a part of our DNA, really, is to follow young race drivers through. I mean, Jonathan, you go to Macau every year, and the best of the world goes through there.
We had Fernando Alonso on one time,
we
too.
We did have Fernando. Yeah. He wasn't a kid at that point.
No, he was somebody.
But that's my favorite part, is that these guys do become household names overnight, and it's nice to know them before they were big.
Yeah, and like, for example, I think I want to start with this Kyle Kirkwood, because he has, I mean, we had him on the show last year. We actually had him on the show, and he'll refer to this in this interview. We were doing our Formula One play-by-play broadcast at COTA last year.
He's lost the job to Connor now.
Yeah, and he came in the booth for just the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and he was fantastic, and it was great to have a driver. He'd been on the circuit that day in an F4 car, but Kirkwood, he won the F4 championship last year, and now he's come out and won every single, is that correct?
Correct.
Every single F3.
All six F3 races in two venues.
Yeah, and so
and he's won 10 of 12 in the Road to Mazda.
So I want to go and play. We've got a nice, it's a great interview with Kyle Kirkwood, and it's about 8 minutes, but it's so good. It talks all about the young driver. So let's hear from Kyle Kirkwood.
Okay, Speed City fans. Kyle Kirkwood on the show again. He's been to become our most go-to guy of our 600 interviews we've done. Kyle is starting to go up there in the charts, but he's like the Energizer Bunny. He doesn't just keep going, he keeps winning.
Yeah.
Another win. So three here, three in Pittsburgh. Pretty good start to an F3 campaign.
Oh, it definitely is. We've won, yeah, six races we've won in a row, and two sweeps. So we're ecstatic. We've got this car on rails now, honestly, and it's been a great two weekends. Now, I mean, knock on wood, but we haven't lost a race since May of this year.
I was going to say, tell us about the other championship, because you're winning there too.
Yeah, so we've won 10 out of 12 races, I believe we've won. And our winning streak just keeps getting higher and higher. The only two races we lost was the second race at St. Petersburg and then the first race at the NDGP. And then since the second race at NDGP, we've won everything and swept every single weekend. And we've been just on a roll. We've had the USF car, which was amazing so far, and we've got one more race than that. And hopefully we can clean up and right now we have the most consecutive wins in the series ever, and we're trying to tie J.R. Hildebrand for most wins in a season. And now here we got a lot of focus on here, trying to get as many wins as possible in this. We've made it look easy the past six races, but it's not been easy. We've been working very hard to get where we're at, and we're going to keep having to work hard to stay where we're at. So it's been good so far, and we're just going to keep the same mentality that we've had.
When I've met young men like you in racing that are having the success, and I'm thinking Lando Norris, I'm thinking Lance Stroll, when they were coming through the ranks, they were winning all the time. And their frustration was they wanted to see how good they really were, because sometimes, not that you've got great competition against you, but you kind of just want to go, how quickly can I get up the ranks? Because, you know, this sport is one of those sports where, you know, you've got to keep going, you've got to keep going quickly, and you've got to be noticed. Are you sort of chomping at the bit to go to the next level?
Always going to be chomping at the bit to go to the next level, and right now we're doing so well And yeah, I mean, if I could jump into something bigger like F2 or over in Europe, GP3, maybe some prototype stuff over in Europe, whatever it may be, even an IndyCar test or Indy Lights test would be amazing. But it's kind of one of the things where you just got to keep working your way up and keep doing what you're doing, and that's what we're doing right now, and that's our goals, is to just keep moving up the ladder, obviously as quickly as possible, but not to a point where you're going too quick, because then you just get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But you still have to have that pace, like you said, and keep getting noticed, keep winning races and championships year after year in different things. So it's a big push for me right now.
The problem for a lot in the past, anyway, for Americans, is making that leap to Europe and being noticed. Alex Rossi took his time. Santino Ferrucci, as you know. Gustavo Menezes, all of these guys have had modicums of success and are good drivers. The question is, where do you jump to now? I mean, Toyota Racing Series, we've mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Formula 3 FIA, Formula 3 itself over there, it's now changing next year. Do you want to be in Europe next year?
I really wish I could. It's always been a goal of mine since I was a kid in karting to go after Formula 1 since I was 5 years old. And whatever I'll do to get there, I will. But it comes down to sponsorship and funding, which is a story of a lot of drivers' lives. And it's a lot easier to race over here and kind of have your sights towards IndyCar, because the sponsors are here. They want to keep their money in the U.S. sort of thing, and that's where their companies are at. And fortunately, I don't have the backing myself to go over there and do even a test. So it's if I can figure out a way to get over there, I will. That's what that's always been a goal, to get into FIA, F3, GP3, F2, whatever it may be, something higher there that Formula One teams will actually notice me. And I really hope I can someday.
Well, we're all hopeful. Speed City fans, we're all looking for the next F1 guy and the next American to go onto international shores, as it were. And we've had some success, and there's plenty of guys out there. I'm thinking guys you've raced against.
Lance was one of them.
Lance Stroll.
I raced against Lance. Cameron Das, yeah, I'm not sure how he's doing. I know he's doing the
Logan
Euro
Sargent,
Open.
Another one?
Logan, like, he's probably my best friend. I started karting with him in probably 2005, 2006, and we raced, like, all over Florida, the Florida Winter Tour, the local races there. We were always racing against each other. We're best friends. He's actually home now from his break in Reno, and I'll probably see him tomorrow, to be honest. And then Lance Stroll is another one who raced against also in the Florida Winter Tour, and we were always neck and neck, but he's the one that always had the big RV and big toter home off in the corner, showing up on the helicopter sort of thing, and we're stuck out of the back of our truck, but we're still able to compete with him. So
he's still got his number. His dad might have a team next year.
you know, he kind of has a team already, but he might have another one. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure I do somewhere, and I know I have Lance's number, but I don't know how that would work out.
Listen, finally, two much tougher questions. Who's going to win the Formula One championship when you will be on the grid at COTA? Who's going to be leading the championship and who's eventually going to win it? And I'm talking Hamilton or Vettel. I'll narrow it down. And what do you drive? Because we always like to find out what the racing drivers drive when they're not racing.
I think Lewis is going to end up walking away with it, and once we get to COTA, it's going to be a walk in the park for him, and they're typically pretty quick there. And I think Ferrari's had a little bit of bad luck this year, and obviously that crash in where was it? I think it was in Germany.
Yeah.
Germany, where Vettel went off in the rain. That was a big downfall for him. He lost a lot of points there. And he'll have to get his head wrapped around it to be able to catch back up in the championship against someone who's been on a roll for so many years with an amazing car and an amazing team.
What do you drive?
I drive a little 2-series BMW. It's nothing special. It's just something to get me from point A to point B.
Okay, well, we'll sell that. We'll put that into the fund for fund Kyle Kirkwood.
Yeah.
Give us your handle so that if there is some rich guy thinking, I could back the next American, we can find you.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's always a goal of mine. If I can get some kind of big sponsorship and go over there, I know I can prove myself. That's something that I've always wanted to do. And if I can have the backing to do it, I believe in myself that I can get it done.
All right. Well, tell us where you are on Facebook and Twitter and.
Oh, yeah. It's my Instagram is Kyle_Kirkwood. My Twitter handle is KKirkwoodRacing, and Facebook is Kyle_Kirkwood also. And find it on there. I do a lot of posts on Twitter and Instagram especially, and keep you updated pretty much after the weekend on Facebook.
So if you're listening and you got some money, Kyle Kirkwood, the next Formula One hopeful from the United States, and even a pretty good handy commentator, I may add, because he helped me last year.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually. Thank you so much.
Well done again. Six in a row. You can't go better than that. Best of luck at New Jersey.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what a kid has to do.
What do you have to do, you know?
Because right now, so he's leading. He won the F4 championship last year, US F4.
Yep.
He's leading the new F3 championship last
year. Won all the races so far.
Yeah. And then also this year, USF 2000.
On the road to Indy, yeah.
He's won 10 of 12. Wow.
And if that was in American football, and Les,
yeah,
back me up.
Serious
rock star. He'd be looking at any college he wanted. He'd be in the draft as at least, you know, second
college.
First round, second round pick.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? He's 19 years of age. If you put that in a football sense, and that's actually the best analogy I can give, he would be right up there. He would be a Heisman Trophy contender.
Yeah.
And yet, as you heard in that interview, what did he say? I can't afford to go to Europe. Even for a test, to impress those guys.
Come on.
So
come
if
on,
you're guys. Out there, guys, Look. If there's a Texan out there, if there's a Californian out there, come
Let's
on.
Let's everybody pool our frequent flyer miles.
Let's do it. Kyle Kirkwood. If everybody keeps saying, where's the next American? Guys, Speed City are showing you the way. Kyle Kirkwood, look him up. That's where you know, I mean, what do you want?
Yeah.
We got
All right,
him.
Well, let's hear an interview with another American.
Yep.
Who's currently leading the F4 championship, Dakota Dickerson.
Okay, Speed City fans, I'm here with Dakota Dickerson. I'm trying to keep up with all the F3, F4 action, as it were. Not racing this weekend, but you really want to race in F3, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think leading the F4 championship, obviously we're expecting to race F3 next year, hopefully. So I'd like to dip my toes into the season this year. So here at Mid-Ohio, just bugging all the teams, trying to get a ride.
Have you tried the car itself yet?
I haven't. I actually haven't gotten into the car yet. It looks like we might be able to do a test before New Jersey, which is the next event, the third round for F3. So I might try and do a test there, but I haven't gotten able to drive it yet.
Saw you at Pittsburgh in F4. How's it going? How's the season?
It's going really well. I think we got the win at Mid-Ohio here for, I believe that was the fourth round in the F4, or fourth weekend in F4. And we did pretty well at Pittsburgh, but we still have a lead. Hoping to keep that going for New Jersey, but you know it's very tight. The top four in the championship are all within 33 points, which is very close to the FIA points standard. So keep pushing and hoping to get some more wins.
Now at Speed City, we haven't got a lot of money, but we've invested in a massive radar, and that radar only looks at young Americans coming up, and you are right in the middle of that radar. Tell us about, first of all, for people listening for the first time, your background and your trajectory. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is coming in a lot of go-karts. So my family raced karts back in the day. My grandma actually raced go-karts. So it's been in the family. And I've gotten into formula cars through the Skip Barber Racing School. We won a couple of scholarships there. So that's what got me into formula cars. And for me, running an F4 and F3, obviously there's the FIA points, which is awesome for the Americans because that's never really been done for us. So I think at 21 years old, unfortunately, I'm a bit too old to pursue Formula One. But I think my goal is IndyCar. But I think it's great that F4 United States Championship and F3 Americas is allowing young drivers to be able to rack up those FIA points, go and pursue a Formula One career while still staying here in the States.
I'm going to say, I like the fact that a kid of 21 now probably has more options than a kid 10 years ago, because you could go the Alex Rossi route, which is to go over to Europe, race a little bit in some of the Formula races there. And okay, maybe a little bit too old for Formula One, but Indy could be a real possibility.
Oh, absolutely. I think the F4 United States Championship and F3 Americas is giving a lot of people opportunities where, like you said, 10 years ago weren't possible. So I think this is really a place where I can showcase what I can do, continue to build on what I need to learn to get to those top ranks, and this is ultimately the best way to do it for me.
When he said his grandma went racing, I just visualized this gray-haired lady on a go-kart.
She might have raced when she was a teenager. He
didn't say.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Hey, they have drag racing.
No, that's a whole different thing. You've gone down a path.
I tell you what, when your grandma races, you got to be a racer.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you can't go, oh, I think I'll be a doctor.
All right. On that note, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, Les, we've got a guest.
I'm going to get radical.
We are going to get radical. That's what we got, a radical driver. All right. Listen to Speed City live in Austin, back after these messages.
I like it.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory-authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellers.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellers Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellers doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellers White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellers, Austin's original craft brewery.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hey, during the break, I heard that Sellers Brewery commercial. We're going to partner up with those guys, right?
Oh, we are. We are. Hey, and if you aren't familiar with Sellers, Belgium-styled Texas brewed, and it is awesome beers.
It's original stuff, too. They are
I want
Belgium.
You to come try them out August 22nd, but I'm going to challenge you to drive a European car because Speed City and Sellers are getting together. 6 o'clock, August 22nd, at the brewery and tap room.
Fast cars and beer.
Wait a minute.
Drink responsibly and don't drive at all. How's
exactly.
that?
There you go.
But yeah, come on out. August 22nd. It's going to benefit our friends at Make-A-Wish. So
come down.
There's a lot of fun. It is a family environment. You know, don't think it's some pub that you can't be there with kids and enjoy it. Very much a family environment. But, you know, I got to tell you, more speed. You know, more speed because everyone wants a little more speed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those guys have been around Speed City quite a while. They're always pointing people out. I'm talking with Price Cobb. And I was like, so, Price, what's going on?
Lamont winner.
Yeah, that guy. And he goes, man, Les, he goes, radicals are taking off. And it's the new radical cars. And they have their own racing series. They have all these things. And these radicals are amazing. He goes, but you got to meet somebody. And I said, who's that? He said, Judd Miller is cleaning house, and he is doing it in one of the radicals, and you got to have him. So let's meet Judd Miller. Judd, welcome to Speed City.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. That's a nice intro.
Hey, I got to ask, though. I've been out at COTA and seen you guys playing around. Why don't you describe a radical to our audience right quick? What are those?
Well, they're open cockpit race cars. I mean, they're just absolute blast to drive. There's a couple of different variations. Both of them are based off of a Hayabusa motorcycle engine. The 1500 series is just the engine. There's also a V8, and that makes 250-300 horsepower. But there's also a V8 version. Which makes over 400 horsepower. These cars are very, very light, and they're very, very fast. They're a lot of fun to drive.
I got to ask a question. You can say that I'm not from Texas particularly, but when I grew up in England, radical racing was one of the most popular sort of forms of, I guess, learning racecraft. Is it the same car?
Yeah, same car. They're very big worldwide. They started over there in England. They're here in the United States in a pretty big way, and that's what we were doing this weekend. I'm here with the Motor Speed group. You know, Price is here. We just got finished racing today a couple hours ago. And it was one of their six Radical Cups that they host every year. So this was here at Utah Motorsports Campus. And then there's two more wrapping up later this month. We've got Watkins Glen. And then in October, we've got Laguna Seca. That's going to be the last race of the year. And then we'll have six races next year starting there at COTA. And I believe it's in March.
Ooh, that's going to be fun going down the corkscrew.
Yeah. So Price tells me Judd is really getting a handle on these and doing well. He took 3 third places this weekend. Congrats, Judd.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. This is, for me, it's my first time in a radical. I test drove it a couple times there at COTA. And as for me, I've never actually raced. I do lots of track events. I spent a lot of time on track at COTA. I've got 1,000-plus laps there. Some other Texas tracks as well. But it's an absolute blast. It's a totally different league when you're racing other light cars. And these drivers out here are amazing. They're very fast.
Well, let me ask you on that subject, you know, how do you get into radical racing? Because it's a relatively inexpensive motor racing, and there's no cheap motor racing. But, you know, when I think about karts, can you make the jump, if you like, from karts? Or do you need to, where would you say, if you were advising, let's just say, a kid who, you know, or a father who's got a kid and they wanted to go radical racing, what do they need to do beforehand?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be an easy jump for somebody, especially from karts to radicals. You know, there's 1340cc as well, and there's 1500ccs, and those things are really, really fast, but they're very, very, very stable. The best place to start would be, you know, contacting your local dealer. Certainly in Texas, it's MoreSpeed. Those guys can get you set up. Not only can they sell you a car, but they can teach you how to drive it.
Oh,
it's amazing the amount
awesome.
Of support that they provide. They've got coaches. They've got an entire team. They've got a huge 18-wheeler, and they had 8 or 9 people on their team out here, including Price. There's only 3 drivers that are out here with the radicals, and all those guys are supporting the 3 drivers that are out here. So it's quite amazing. I mean, they took me, somebody that's never actually raced before, and I was somewhat competitive, only a second or two off of the fastest guys out there. So, and that's mostly to them, you know, it's credit to them. So it's been an amazing experience for me.
Well, there you go, folks. Told you, Price Cobb coaches some of the best techniques. And Will Hardeman, we've seen Hardeman clean up in a very short order as well. Well, my gosh, I got to say, this is just amazing. I love it. Judd, congrats on a phenomenal weekend. We'll look for you around Texas in that radical.
Thank you, guys. Enjoyed it, and I really appreciate it. Have a great, great evening.
Keep on winning.
I'll do my best. Thanks.
There you go. So, folks, there you go. MoreSpeed is the dealer in Texas. Really well known. We'll put that out on social media and get you a direct link into that.
Like I said, I went to radicalsportscars.com.
That's just what I was about to say. Go to that website. It's all there. The story, what they do globally, etc.
I've seen them out at COTA before in the garages. They do look really cool.
Well, I'm glad it is, because that's the only time I've ever heard of Radical, and it is so big in England. And I mean, so many young drivers go that way because it's a cheap but fast and light. The key to it is you've got a lot of power. And you know, you've got it teaches you racecraft really quickly.
And it's a worldwide organization for the racing series, and so you can pick up some. In fact, I think there are some of them that will rent you a race car for the weekend if you want to go to UK or somewhere else and jump in one and race somebody there.
Just have to take a different ID so they don't recognize your name.
Sure, especially if it's Price Cobb.
If you go to radicalsportscars.com, just click on the Go Racing. These guys are not a sponsor or anything. It was just cool stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And I was clicking on the Go Racing, and you're right. They're all over UK, Europe. They're Radical North America, Middle East, Australian, Canada. They're all over. It's really cool. All right, guys, we just got a couple minutes left. But, Les, I wanted to ask you about Moto 3.
Moto 3 was
because you were
phenomenal.
Saying, I didn't get to see Moto 3.
Moto
this morning.
3, okay, I won't spoil it for you guys, but definitely get in there and watch it, especially watch our buddy Jorge Martin, who, you know, just 2 weeks ago had a major off, broke his arm, and some pretty serious injuries there. He's back.
We're talking back. Trans Am is back. And as the voice of Trans Am, I'm going to get my own plug in here. I was in Mid-Ohio yesterday. And I tell you, we had Bill Elliott racing, the Hall of Famer, whose kid is running in NASCAR. We had Boris Sett, loves it.
Leading the championship, Ernie Francis Jr., Rafa Matos, ex-IndyCar driver, leading in TA2. We've got Ginetta's, another British mark, doing good.
I was looking down the list of Trans Am cars in Trans Am that were eligible, and it was obviously Camaros and Corvettes and Mustangs and the M3s.
British
and stuff.
Ginetta,
and
baby.
And I went, Ginetta, what is that? And I looked it up, and it kind of looks like an American GT is what it looks
but
like.
But it ain't. But it isn't.
you spent some time, in the booth, you share with the Dallenbach.
Yes, I do.
And
Jake Dallenbach.
So that's Wally's son, right?
Yeah, it's the dynasty. I didn't realize his mom was a badass as well. So,
and he's known for driving fast on the street.
Yes.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah, we got pulled over on the way to the track. Jake was driving. It was hilarious because the police officer's like, "Hey, you guys going to the racetrack?"
He saw your shirts or whatever.
It's great.
But he didn't go.
Do you think you are a racing driver?
No, but he didn't look at the name and go, Dallenbach.
He's not a race guy, but yeah.
Obviously not.
Pretty funny. Who do you think you are? Stirling Moss? Anyway, right. Trans Am, you can watch it on Motor Trend On Demand, as well as lots of other motorsport there. We're going to Road America, which will be with Xfinity, with Trans Am. GoTransAm.com if you want to catch up with what's going on there. And yeah, it's just awesome. And Trans Am, one of the oldest series in America, 52 years.
Hey, I want to talk about another sponsor of our Formula One programming. You know, we do pre and post race shows for Formula One every Formula One weekend, but we have the new sponsor, the F1 Games from Codemasters.
And I'll tell you,
how cool is that, guys?
You know what's so good about it? It's not just a race game.
Yeah,
it's a career thing. You get to do the avatar, you get to career, and there's get extra points for the sportsmanship or being good with the fan. It's a really all inclusive game. I really like it.
Yeah, check it out. F1 Games from Codemasters. All right, we gotta go. Thanks for tuning in. Check us out on our website, SpeedCityBroadcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all the rest. We put out lots of content during the week, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.